Hallelujah. Taking charge through divine guidance. Part two. Taking charge. Our objective this morning is to understand the power of divine guidance to cause people to take charge. The power of divine guidance. To cause people to be established in dominion. And then to understand the power, the way of dominion through divine guidance. In 1 Chronicles, where we read in the first service, chapter 12 and in verse 32, the Bible said, and of the children of Issachar, these were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. These people, he said, and all their brethren were at their commandment. When you are connected to his command, you end as a commander. And all their brethren were at his command, at their commandment. Those connected to the command of God are commanders on earth. Sensitivity to divine direction is key to authority in the world of men. Sensitivity to divine direction. When God is speaking and you are hearing, when you are speaking, your world will be hearing. When God is speaking and you are hearing, when you are speaking, your word will hear you. The world must pay attention to the one who is under divine direction. The world must pay attention to the man who is under divine direction. Under divine direction. Under divine direction. Beloved, we see through our scripture that nothing puts people in command like the commands of God, like the directions of God. You take charge without charge when you are under his charge. If God charges you, you take charge. Hallelujah. If God charges you, you must take charge. Without charge, without bill, without pay, you take charge. Let's look at three examples in scripture. Number one was the example of Moses. What were the problems of Moses? Number one, Moses was a fugitive on the run from the law. A fugitive. He killed a man and he was on the run. Number two, Moses was a wanderer, literally a placeless wanderer. He was in the wilderness. Homeless, nowhere to sleep, nowhere to lay his head. When he sat by the well, and the daughters of Jethro met him. Number three, Moses was the victim of aborted vision. He had a vision to deliver his people, but he attempted to deliver the people, and the vision did not come to pass, and he abandoned the vision altogether. He was the victim of aborted visions. Number four, Moses was the victim of limited potential. He had so much ability, no expression. Potential in limitations. It was under that kind of circumstance, in that circumstance, that Moses encountered God. A fugitive on the run from the law, a wanderer, a victim of aborted vision, the victim of limited potential. That was defeat confirmed. Life of defeat, life of frustration, life of hopelessness. That was when Moses encountered Jehovah. And then in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9 and in verse 10, God began to speak to him. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. He said, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. And he sent him to Pharaoh. He didn't just send him to Pharaoh. He endowed him with such a level of authority that God Almighty identified Moses as a god. That is, I am God in heaven. But I want to let you know that you are a god. Exodus 7 and in verse 1. That sounds very sacrilegious, but it was God who said it with his mouth. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I am, despite all you have passed through, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Moses, I am your god. You are my prophet. But you are Pharaoh's god, and Aaron is your own prophet. That is, you qualify to be worshipped by Pharaoh. Anything you say is law for Pharaoh. The same Pharaoh that was looking for you to kill you, that same Pharaoh make rules, let him obey you. If you can hear God, you will become Lord over your pursuers. You become a law to those who are looking for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I speak to somebody here today. That kind of divine direction that will make you a god, make you an authority to your generation, is coming your way right now. And all the challenges that Moses had, if there is anyone here today that is a victim of any such challenge, if there is anything that is pursuing you, anything that is after your life, by the speaking of God today, that pursuit is broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If there is any placeless wanderer, the devil say you should not be established in life, I declare that plague is broken right now. Every victim of aborted vision, the Lord gave you vision, he spoke within your heart, you are trying to lay your hands on something and the devil said it will never succeed, I prophesy to you today that agenda of the devil is broken. Until Moses encountered God and God spoke to him. He didn't know that what he carried in his hand could deliver a nation. He was using his potential to tend flock and just look for employment. There are people who are looking for employment today who are to determine the destiny of nations, but they are not aware because they have not heard God. Moses used the rod in his hand to tend the flock of Jethro, who employed him, as a headman, a good one. Who employed him? Not knowing that the same potential he had, that he was using as a job man, that he was using as a job person, that same potential is the destiny of a nation. It is only when you have heard God that you will understand that, and you will realize that what you are using to achieve minimal results are the same thing you are to use to achieve generational results. That's right. I speak to somebody here today. Your season of limitation is over forever. God is going to speak something to you. He's going to give you a direction that will lift you from the realm of the struggle where you are, from the realm of the limited position you are, to begin to affect and impact a generation, affect and impact a nation. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. One day, that was the first service of that church today, the new branch planted in Kenya, Eldoret. Father, thank you for that location. We ask that it will grow, it will blossom, it will explode in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loud most, amen. Somebody shout the believers, amen. What is it that makes a man that is on the run because they are looking for him to kill him? A man that is wandering and looking for where to stay. A man that is frustrated from failure of vision. A man that is limited in potential. What is it that makes that man return back and begin to challenge a king and command the king to bow? And the king is, who is this person? Is it not Moses that we've been looking for the last 40 years? What changed? What changed was that he heard a voice. He got a direction. Somebody will hear something. Somebody will get a direction. And that direction will change everything about your life. It will change everything around your life. Shout the loudest, amen. That was how, please take your seat, divine encounter, divine direction, and divine guidance made Moses to take charge. Example number two is the example of the prophet's widow. Divine guidance for the prophet's widow. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels I brought of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her house, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel, and the oil stayed. Hallelujah. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and then live on the rest. That is, live on the rest. Continue to live from the rest. Somebody say amen. That was the story of the woman with a very, very bad husband. That prophet had a lot of challenge, but I'll talk about it another day. Challenge number one, he was a disobedient prophet. Disobedient because thou shalt lend unto nations, thou shalt not borrow. The prophet went and borrowed and carried his two children to be collaterals. A disobedient prophet. Number two, he was a non-submissive prophet. A prophet that had no prophetic covering. He had a challenge. He couldn't, if he had a prophetic cover in the prophet of Elisha, he would have told his father, I am challenged, I'm stranded, I need help. No prophetic covering. Disobedient prophet, no prophetic covering. Number three, no covenant practice. If he was a covenant practitioner, there was no way he could have been a beggar and a borrower. Number four, zero value for family. You don't have anything to use as collateral but two sons. I'll talk about that another day. But this prophet put his wife in trouble. Take your seat, man. What was the challenge that this woman found? Number one, it was a challenge of the continuous flow of tears. She cried, she wept. Continuous flow of tears. The widow was crying. Husband is dead, and now she's going to lose her children. Number two, it was a condition of perennial struggle. Struggle for survival. When Elisha said, what do you have? He said, I have nothing. So this woman was down to nothing. Continuous struggle for survival. Number three, it was a condition of shame and embarrassment. Shame. Embarrassment. She was just about to be disgraced. Your husband, the debtor. Your husband, the borrower. Your husband, the beggar. Condition of shame. And of course, the condition number four of potential loss of children. These four conditions faced this woman until the word of God came. Let me say this, people. One word from God can clean your tears. Hey! All you need to end your tears, to end the flow of tears, is one direction, one guide, one thing God will ask you to do will clean the ice. You will start laughing first before you see the result. When God shows you the littleness of your challenge, you will start laughing first. You will start dancing first. And I announce to somebody here, whatever is the situation that has brought tears in your face, a word from God is about to clean your eyes. It's about to wipe the tears. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. The second thing is that one word from God is the end of the struggles of life. Struggle for survival, actually. Struggle for survival. Looking for what to eat. One voice from God terminates struggle for survival. Thirdly, it's just following the points we made already, that one word from God is the cure for shame, embarrassment. You are face to face with a situation that almost is trying to embarrass you. All you need
it.
He forgot to tell you something. An embarrassment is over. And that thing is happening for somebody right now. And one word from God is enough. One word from God is enough to end your potential loss, to forbid your potential loss, to stop your loss. You have been losing things. You have been losing people. You have been losing relationships. You have been losing job opportunities. You have been losing possibilities. Help her. Lord, what is the end? What will mark the end of this loss? One guide, one word, one instruction, one thing he will tell you to do will end the loss. I don't know who God sent me to speak to today, but the last loss of your life shall be the last. Say amen like a believer. Say amen like a believer. And before I go, let me tell you this. Divine guidance will show you what you have that you are not aware of. It will show you what you have that you are not aware of. It will show you what is working for you that you don't know. What do you have? I have nothing but a pot of oil. Ah, is that what you are calling nothing? What you just called nothing is the rescue of your family. What you just called nothing. What you just called nothing is the end of your shame. Our challenge is not that the solution is not with us. It's that the solution is there, but we can't see. Our challenge is not that the answer is not nearby. There is a nearby answer that you have not seen. There is a nearby answer that you are despising. There is a nearby answer that you don't think anything can come out of. It's nearby. How I wish the prophet knew. It is possible that he died of hypertension. Money worries. The pressure from this man. Unknown to him, what would have prevented his death was inside the house. Maybe his wife's kitchen, that same pot of oil. How I wish he connected with Elisha. His prophetic signals would have increased. Or at least the prophet would have prophesied to the prophet what to do to rescue him. You know, prophets are prophesied to also. That's very true. One of the most accurate prophets I ever know since I was born. God showed me something about him. And I told him. Something that nobody else would tell him. People have spoken to me too. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How I wish that prophet was open enough. But this is the crux of the matter. The answer is not far. The answer is near. But we have not seen. Divine guidance, divine direction will make us see the answer. And I speak today, that which is near you, that solution that is nearby, that answer that is nearby, that deliverance that is near, that you have not seen, now you shall see. The believer say a loud amen. The believer say a loud amen. Also, divine guidance will bring out the potential of your possession. It's one thing to have a pot of oil. It's another thing for that pot of oil to multiply. Divine direction, divine guidance, the voice of God brings out the potential of your possession. What you already have, the potential of it explodes. You move from millions to billions by some little guidance. Not necessarily that you made new money, but you just got new wisdom. God didn't give Moses anything new to change his story. It was already what was in his hand, the rod. Elisha didn't give this woman anything new. It was what was already in her house. He didn't say borrow oil. He said borrow vessel. What the most important thing is the oil. You can have plenty of vessel without oil. What's the use? Nothing. Because the oil was there. Many of us, God will not give you anything new. He will only show you something you already have and multiply his potential. And multiply and empower the potential of it. And just explode it. Just explode the potential of what you already have. Explode that wisdom. Explode that idea. Explode that skill. Explode that talent. Explode that assignment. And I see that happening for somebody here today. If you believe it, say the Lord and say amen. If you believe it, shout the Lord must say amen. If you believe it, say the believer, say amen. Let me round off with the third example. You can see how this woman effortlessly took charge of the situation. Now, divine guidance does not only handle your present, it handles your future. The current situation was that the woman was indebted. Children are almost being sold as slaves. But when the answer came, he said, now, this solves where you are, but also leave from the rest. Your present is handled, the future is guaranteed by the guidance of God. Finally, divine guidance for Peter at the lake of Gennesaret. In the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 1, the Bible said, Luke, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and asked him that he should launch out from the ground. When he had left speaking, he said unto him, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a trout. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. What was the situation of Peter? I'd like you to take note of this Peter's situation because it's very critical. It was a situation of failure. Established failure. That is, you have failed. Second, it was the situation of disappointment. He didn't expect that he will be out all night and return back home with nothing. Third, it was a situation of wasted effort, failure, disappointment, wasted effort, wasted expertise. It was a situation, fourth, of empty-handedness. But all this situation turned around. Failure can change to success on the spot. Disappointment can become divine appointment on the spot. Wasted effort can be arrested. Empty-handedness can be arrested by the voice of God. You see, one thing I want to make clear is that one word from God can make the difference immediately. Can make the difference gradually. Immediately. On the spot. Immediately. Instant action unction is a function of divine direction. It can make the difference immediately. Now look at this. Peter did not relocate from the lake. All right. The master did not say, let's go and try another lake. The master didn't say, let's go and come back, let the fishes populate a bit on the spot. That same place where you failed, that same place where it didn't work, on the spot it can work, if only you can hear. I want your faith to come alive like fire. That same place where it didn't work, that same thing that didn't work, that same effort that didn't produce, that same technique, all that, there was no need for change of location. There was no need for change of timing. There was no need for change of technique. There was no need for change of anything. The only thing that changed was that somebody spoke. Maybe you can say, launch out your net into the deep. Push it deeper. For there is a drought. And things changed. If only God can speak to you, things can change on the spot. Is there anybody ready to receive this prophetic word? Between now and the next 24 hours, there are instant changes you will experience. Between now and the next 48 hours, there are instant changes you will experience. Between now and the next 72 hours, next 1 week, my God and your God will give you instant changes that will blow your mind. Shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a praise. Look at somebody by your side. Tell them, get ready for instant changes. Take your seat and let's look at, quickly, keys. All right. What the impact of divine direction to cause a person to take charge. From now on, I'm going to say exactly the same things from the first service, except that different scriptures shall be used. Number one, divine guidance brings an immediate injection of faith and boldness to dare anything. There is an injection of faith. There is an injection of boldness. When Peter heard Jesus say, he said, if you are the one on the water, ask me to come. And he said, come. In Matthew chapter 14, about verse 27, thereabout, Peter jumped from the water. Peter jumped and walked straight without fear. There was an instant injection. Instant injection of faith. Instant injection of boldness. Instant injection of fire. And faith makes people to take charge. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. First John chapter 5 verse 4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even after. So the voice of God in the heart of a man is faith in action. Boldness, audacity. The reason why many are so timid and weak is because they have heard nothing. They have seen nothing. Secondly, divine guidance, which is the same as the voice of God, brings an immediate empowerment to take charge. The voice of God carries power. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. The voice of God carries power. When you are in touch with his voice, you are empowered. When I say his voice, it may come in form of a dream. It may come in form of, while you're in the service like this, it may come in the still small voice. Whichever direction God chooses to speak to you, it's an injection of power. Turns you into a lion. Number three, the voice of God brings instant defeat. Divine guidance brings instant defeat to the enemy and his forces. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22 and 23, when the children of Israel did as the Lord spoke to them, the enemy fought themselves. Instant defeat. Isaiah 30, 31, it says, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down. When God is speaking to you, he's sending defeat into the enemy's camp. Today, somebody is moving with a new lease of faith. And somebody is causing disaster and destruction to the kingdom of darkness. You believe that? Say loud, amen. Finally, what are the keys to taking charge? Through divine guidance. What do we do? Number one, be on the lookout for divine direction, guidance and instruction. In all situations, be on the lookout. Lord, what are you saying? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 all the way to verse 3, he said, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me. In fact, don't just be on the watch out. Seek direction. Seek guidance. Seek direction. Seek it. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. He says, stand in the ways and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Lord, which path is the right path? Where? What do I do in this circumstance? Be on the lookout for divine direction in the midst of all situations. Actively seek direction. Seek guidance. Seek it. Number two, determine to believe God's guidance and direction, no matter how ridiculous it sounds. Determine to believe God's guidance and direction, no matter how ridiculous it sounds. Because at times it may sound ridiculous. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, Paul said, and I know whom I have believed, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Acts chapter 27 verse 25. In the midst of the storm, Paul the apostle says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. I believe God. Go and get empty vessels. Begin to pour oil into it. Why? Why? That's the question most people ask. Why? Go back to Pharaoh. Me? You go in front. Let me follow you. And I have to see you in person. I have to see you in person. I have to see you in person before I can go back to Pharaoh. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Launch your net into the deep. Which deep? Which lake? I was born as a fisherman. I labored in the night. I didn't catch anything. Belente, you say I should catch fish in the day. You know, fishes are caught in the night because they lose visibility most times. Most fishermen fish in the night because of loss of visibility. I couldn't catch fish in the night. You are asking me to catch fish in the day. Until you agree to be a fool in front of God, you cannot be fool of results with God. Until you agree to be a fool in front of God, you can never be fool of results with God. Peter was a fool. He abandoned his fishing wisdom to agree to be a fool. At the end of the day, he became full of results. The net break, the ship sank because he agreed to be a fool. Many of us are too wise to rise. Even though normally to be wise is to rise in the normal sense, but when you become overwise in front of the God who is the headquarter of wisdom, you are unable to rise how you should rise. It is in the front of God that you will consider your wisdom as stupidity. In the front of God, you relinquish any wisdom you have. You do the ridiculous. What will make people laugh at you is ridicule. You do the ridiculous to get the miraculous. I said that in the first service. Most times God will use the ridiculous to cause people to realize the miraculous. Hallelujah. He uses the ridiculous. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We analyze things until we paralyze them. That is the paralysis of analysis. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Especially in the front of God. If we were to overanalyze things, this building won't start. I won't leave Abuja, just to come to Abuja for ministry, because I didn't know where I was coming to sleep here. There was nowhere to come to sleep. Nobody to come to meet. I dropped at area 4, what do you call it, zone 4 there, where the motor park used, parked, pulled my shoe, planted my feet on the bare ground. And I was pacing on the road, crossing the road with bare feet. Wheresoever the sole of your feet has trodden upon, I give it to you as an inheritance. Wondering where to go. The only place that came to my mind was Gwagwalada, where I had a friend, a schoolmate. That was what came to my mind first. He was a lecturer at the School of Nursing then. And I was about to look for Gwagwalada vehicle. And then I met this young man. That was my mentee from the university. Brother Paul, what are you doing here? I said, I came here, just came here. He said, really? Where are you going now? I said, I'm going to Gwagwalada. He said, do you know where it is? I said, I don't know. Because I thought Gwagwalada is like from here to the gate or something. So he said, it's very far. I said, eh. Yeah. He said, can you follow me to my house, to our house? That was how, without direct, that is, without where to go. Arriving here without knowing where to sleep. So, okay, let's go. I was in the bus with him from that zone 4 going towards AYA, Asokoro. 3 to 4 times inside that Abuja green bus. He said, so what are you in town to do? When he asked it about the third time, he began to say, do you know the fire, the kind of fire you carry, the one we know in the university, this city need it. He started talking. I said, really? He said it again. By the time he said it, I said, well, that is why I'm here. He screamed, yay! Yay! That fire, campus fire, that passion, that thing. Say this sitting, he said, I said, that is why I'm here. He screamed. The rest of it, they say, is history. If I was to analyze, Lord, I should go to Abuja. Where will I stay there? Where will I sleep there? Who do I meet there? Who won't be here? I left my wife and our first child. The rest were still in heaven then. Left the tender baby at home with her mother. Come in here. Child was about 3 months. Was that? Well, I can't remember the month. March to August. Yes, about 2 or 3 months or something. You know, it was in that frequency we came here. If you are going, I'm a medical doctor. I don't have where, and then I come in here, and then ministry started, and you have one room in a boys' quarter, and you bring your doctor wife to that one room in a boys' quarter that does not have toilet inside. People don't know the from two official quarters to come into one room. When people see the glory, they must refer back to the stories. Because behind glories, there are stories. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? But the summary is, if we are going to analyze everything and going to make everything to make sense, you will never make moves with God. You will never go forward with God. Am I communicating at all? So we should be ready. Should be ready. That was point number two. Determined to believe God's guidance and direction, no matter how ridiculous it sounds. And then number three, act promptly on divine guidance and direction. Determined to act promptly on divine guidance and direction. When obedience is delayed, the blessing could be denied. Because there is the connection between the obedience of man and the blessing from God. When obedience is delayed, the blessing could be denied. The blessing could be denied when obedience is delayed. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Has God ever given you a direction? Has he given you a divine idea? You carry it out immediately. And Abraham departed. Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed. Hallelujah. When a baby is crying in church, how long does it take before you take the baby out? You wait until the baby is continuing to scream and make a scene? No. You carry the baby out immediately to pamper and find out what the problem is. Is that right? When the idea, the direction arrives, you carry the idea out. How? Immediately. The same way. They are all to be carried out immediately. Somebody is blessed. Somebody will have results this week. You believe that? Say a loud amen. You believe that? Say a louder amen. Stand up
upon your feet the loudest shout of amen.
I think I remember that the baby is a year, like a year, 2 months when we arrived. But today, any guidance you need, Jehovah will give it to you.
Yes. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father,
thank you for your word to me today. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you for clarity.
I thank you for clarity.
Thank you for direction.
Thank you for direction.
I shall take charge by divine guidance and direction.
My ears are open to receive your guidance today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go on ahead, lift your voice, open your mouth and pray. One minute. Ikadi sini managayata sorododo soti. Horata sete fete senaglaida horato setola dagla harada salia. Rakata sete fete soto kokoloko dagla hagna hada sagadi. Masha to fete sete fete soto dagla hagna hada sledi sladu soto. Rata sete fete soto fete sakala dagla hagna soto sakladi. Rakata sete fete sakala dagla hagna hada sladu soto. Thank you for your word to me today, Lord. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for direction. Thank you for causing me to take charge by divine guidance and direction. Father, my ears are open to receive your guidance today. Leno see the galaradasa. Manayala. Mahoshatola. Neka de la Larata sete fedas. Syria. Larata zino. Syria. Precious name. Amen. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. El Gibor, thank you. Mekadesh, we worship you. We honor you. There are many here this morning who will say, Pastor, I want to make my way right with Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. Place a hand on your chest as you pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You pray that prayer, can I see your hand up? You pray the prayer to surrender your life. Yes, let me see all the hands. Even if you didn't pray that prayer, but you need to hand over your life to Jesus this moment, stand up on your feet quickly, carry your Bibles and your bags, and quickly rush to the front here where I am. I'll give you the count of 20. Rush forward. 1.
Lord, I give you my heart.
2.
I give you my soul.
3. Be the first to come. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
Lord, have your way.
Everybody sing,
I give you my heart,
I give you my soul,
live
that means for me. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Every breath that I take, every moment of my life,
have your way,
keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. You need an addiction. You have an addiction that needs to be broken. You have a lifestyle change that is needed. You have a turnaround, a change of story. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want an addiction broken, tobacco smoking, alcoholism, Indian hemp, cannabis, lying, cheating, fraud, gambling. A life that has tied you down. Night clubbing. Stand up on your feet.
I've got my mind made up.
I'll give you the count of 10. 1. Because I want
to see my Jesus
someday. 3. I've got my mind made up. 4. 5.
Because I want to see my Jesus.
5. I've got my mind. I want to see my Jesus someday. Because I want
to see my Jesus. Goodbye, goodbye,
goodbye. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. We have Giri here, we have Katampo, we have Utako, soul winning outreach. You are all welcome, and we pray that the Lord establish you in the name of Jesus Christ. Place your hand on your chest and pray after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.